Welcome back to another episode of Built, presented by Fitbod. On today's episode, we welcome back Jesse and JP, trainers at Fitbod, for another episode of Ask a Trainer. Just a reminder, if you want to have your questions answered, you can email trainer@fitbod.me or jump onto the website. There's a link in the show notes. Stay tuned.
We are just going to go ahead and share some commonly asked questions. We actually pulled these directly from the Facebook community page, and they're topics that seem to kind of float around time and time again. So we thought it might be really good to kind of get some thoughts and feelings, kind of some definitive answers from some experts, from Jesse and JP here, and just weigh in on those topics that seem to come up. And I think a lot of people question these things on a regular basis. So my question is actually really quite brief, and I'm not sure that there's a definitive, but I think there will be lots of opinions on this. So the question that I found was cardio before or after weights. So Jesse and JP, do you guys have, maybe I'll give you my little spin on this. I think this is a depends question. I think it depends on what your goals are. So I'm just going to throw that out there, but I'm going to turn the time over to you guys and let you weigh in on what are your thoughts about cardio? When should that come into a person's workout?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think it's very important to kind of echo what you said. Definitive answer, I think it's all in the eye of the beholder and what they're looking for. There are advantages to doing cardio before. There are advantages to doing it after. But with those advantages, there are also disadvantages to certain goals and different aspects of persons, like lifting regimen. I like to list out advantages and let people choose based off what they want. So if you're doing cardio beforehand, so we'll take the before camp. Benefits to that, there are numerous, and we could all fire off a couple. One that comes to my mind is like the warm-up aspect of kind of waking your body up, but also increasing your heart rate when it comes to what you might be doing later and how that can affect your training and how that can affect the intensity of your workouts and how that can initiate that kind of fat burning process when it comes to working out. So if that's your goal, then doing cardio beforehand can be a great workout or sorry, can be a great warm up, but can also increase that heart rate to allow you to burn more and make that workout even more intense. If that's your goal to burn that, then go for it beforehand. Now, the downside of that is that you are using energy that could be used to lifting weights in that. So naturally, you're not going to be as fresh as you were if you were just to come in and do a small warm up and then lift right after that. So that's advantage, disadvantage for me on cardio before. What about you, JP? What do you have? Because I think everyone here could probably list off the advantages of what they see as before and after.
Yeah, oh, it's really one of those topics that's all over the place. There's so many different forms of cardio you can be doing, so many different ways you can apply it. And depending on your workout, it can go a number of different ways. So I've definitely done both in my long career of working out. I personally hate cardio, period. I hate doing it. It's not my favorite thing to do. I like lifting weights. I don't like running and getting out of breath. But I've done both sides of things, specifically in terms of sports. I've ran track and did basketball. And for basketball, we would lift weights and then practice. And for track, we would practice and then lift weights. So In that sense, I have a little bit of exposure to both of those. And I definitely prefer lifting weights first and then doing cardio after. I found it to be an easier transition between the two. Not going to say that's the best way to do it, because obviously, depending on your cardio and what you're doing, it's going to be different. But I found that to be easier and less impactful on the second workout. But the answer I always give when we get this question emailed into us is that whatever your priority is should be first. Like Jesse was saying, whatever you do second is going to be impacted by the fatigue of the first one, especially if you're doing it at a workout intensity, not a warm-up intensity. So whichever one is going to be the thing that you're trying to do, that you're trying to improve, that should be the first one. If you're trying to be a runner, you should do that first and use the weightlifting to supplement your runs, or vice versa.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there, that example that you gave, is a perfect example of that. So when you were running track, that was your goal, was to be good at running track. And so to do your cardio first makes sense. But I want to throw a little something into the mix here with you guys to maybe discuss. So I was hearing this week, and I would love to dive deeper into this and get a little bit more information, but I actually heard that there was a study done because a lot of our listeners and a lot of people who are using Fitbod, I would say weight loss is their goal. And I was hearing about a study that was done where they actually did a study, I think it was among 200 participants, so pretty small, but they did some that did only cardio, some that did only lifting, and some that did cardio and lifting. And the answer to which group lost more weight was actually surprising to the people that even ran the test. And they were talking about how those in that group of weightlifting only were actually the ones that lost the greatest amount of weight, even amongst those that did the weightlifting and the cardio. So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Do you feel like that might be a one-sided, a one-sided experiment? Or is that something that maybe needs a little bit more looking into? And maybe there's a little bit more merit there than people initially think. I guess maybe my base thought on that one is, where did this idea come that cardio is the end all be all for losing weight? Like, what, do you feel like that's a little bit of a myth in the fitness community?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Wherever that came from, I don't know, but I want to find that guy and I've got some things to say to him.
Don't you feel like that's a common misconception?
It's definitely everywhere. You know, you always see that kind of stereotype of like the thin runner out doing things. And I think it's probably an advertising thing at some point it happened where that just became the public consensus for what losing weight looks like. But yeah, steady state cardio is not the way to go about it. Low intensity cardio can be good. High intensity cardio can be good. But that middle jogging range or even a pretty brisk run, not really what you want to be doing, especially for burning fat. You know, weight loss is really going to come down to the diet side of things. But yeah, if you're trying to burn fat, going out for a jog is not the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think if we want to get back to the where the myth of this kind of came from, I think it's just the common like conception of like, if we do cardio, we sweat a lot. Like, right? That's kind of the goal. People start sweating a ton. And because you're dripping sweat and you're losing water, then naturally you're going to be losing weight. And then it just maybe tied into a little bit more of the advertising factor and everything like that. But yeah, it's a very common misconception. Steady state cardio, as JP mentioned, not the way to go. Do it extremely high intense or do it low and then follow that up with weights. Great way to lose weight, but burning fat, quickest way to do that, I think research will probably show, quickest way to do that is by lifting and doing resistance training.
You know what I think sometimes it boils down to, and this is an interesting topic that also comes up in the community on a regular basis, is people love that little number on the cardio machines of how many calories it has told them that they have burned. And I know the question comes up on repeat. People want to know, well, how accurate is the calorie burning count in the app? And it's a little different from this and it's a little different from that. And I think a lot of people maybe don't realize that cardio number, A, it's a total fabricated number. I wouldn't put any stock or I wouldn't bet any of my life on that number that's on the machine. But the calories that we burn during cardio end after the session of cardio ends, correct? And when we're building muscle, we actually are looking to increase our metabolism over the next 24 hours, over a longer period of time, because our engine is basically just requiring more energy to be even at a steady state. So is that the truth? Do you guys think that people love that that little number and, you know, kind of trying to figure out exactly how many calories have been burned lifting versus, you know, what they think they've burned in cardio?
I think that could definitely play into it. It's that dopamine response of seeing the number get higher and higher. I think that definitely plays into, because you don't get that on weightlifting exercises. You know, you don't have a little calorie tracker. You might have a smartwatch or something like that can do some estimate of that. But that's the other side of things, is it's all just estimates based on some other biometric like heart rate. You know, it's not tailored to the individual. And it's a very hard number to actually measure accurately to an individual. Yeah. You need a lot of equipment and it ends up looking like something out of an alien movie.
Going back to the original question, in my own personal story, as I shared in one of the earlier episodes, it wasn't until I started lifting weights, packing on muscle, that the desired rate of weight loss was what I was looking for. What I like to do with my cardio is I do weightlifting in the morning and then after lunch, I'll do some sort of cardio, either a long walk or I'll get on my Peloton for like 10 minutes and do some HIIT training. So I like to split it up and not do it all in one session. What do you guys think of that? Splitting it up, like later in the day.
It's definitely going to help with the fatigue side of things. If you give yourself time to refuel, take a little break, let your muscles recover a little bit. I should say, let your muscles rest a little bit before you go into another intense workout. I think that's definitely a good way of going about it.
I think it's important for us to make note of the fact that cardio is important for heart health. And I don't think we're talking about discounting the benefits of doing any forms of cardio. I think we're kind of talking about those that are doing that long, steady state cardio or thinking about burning fat or what it is that they're trying to do. So I think I just wanted to kind of throw a plug in there and make sure people realize. I think they also need to realize that, like you guys were saying, it's really important to warm your muscles up with a little bit of movement before you dive right into that lifting, because it's important to actually warm the temperature of your muscles up. It's important to kind of get the blood pumping as part of a warm up to lifting. So I don't think we're totally discounting the benefits of cardio altogether here.
No, definitely not. I think you should be doing steady state cardio, just not for fat burning. Mm-hmm. If that's all you care about, you don't care about health, then that's not the right choice. If you're trying to be all around fit and athletic, yeah, you absolutely need to be doing cardio for the cardiovascular health.
Thanks. I think we needed to say that.
Yeah, that was a good call.
So here's another question that we got. Somebody said, what are some of the best ways to increase workout intensity without just adding more weights?
I think the first one that comes to mind is essentially decreasing the rest time, the rest periods between your sets. Keeping that heart rate extremely high, raising that VO2 max level, without necessarily needing to increase the weights. You can do that with increasing the reps in a set. You can do that with increasing the number of sets. It's a numbers game, right? And if you don't have a ton of weights to add on to each apparatus or each lift, then doing more reps, decreasing the rest period so that you're not sitting there catching your breath. That way your muscles are overworking and being overloaded during that work period is a great way to increase the intensity. Another thing we just talked about was just cardio, and we could loop that back. That is another version of an exercise that you can do before workouts, or you can incorporate things like, what is it called? It's not the murder bike, but it's often recalled to as the murder bike.
The assault bike.
Just the air bike. That is a great way to keep one's heart rate up during the middle of exercises without increasing the weights and keeping that intensity up.
I keep a jump rope with me, and between sets, I'll hit 100 skips, and it keeps the heart rate up. And I love increasing intensity throughout the workout for sure.
Short little bursts of whatever you're doing. You can do jump rope. You can do burpees. You can do, you know, anything of that intense nature that you can kind of add in between, I think is a great way to kind of increase.
You can intensity. Do burpees.
Exactly.
I do burpees.
Ain't nobody want to do burpees. Along this question, I've been messing with my time. Less rest. See how low I can get it and still feel like I'm getting a good workout. And Michael, like you, instead of jumping rope, though, I get on my treadmill for my rest period and I walk at a 3 miles an hour at a 3% incline. And that keeps me going throughout the workout. Any other ideas there, JP, on this increasing intensity without necessarily just adding more plates?
There's a ton of different ways you could go about doing something like this. And one of the big things is, what do you mean by intensity? Because I feel like this is one of those buzzwords in fitness that has 100 different meanings depending on the context of how you use it. So relative intensity is a really good one. You can lower your rep range. You can increase the weight and do less reps. Each rep is then going to be more intense. So that's one way you can go about doing something, is changing your rep range. Circuits is another good one that kind of ties into the rest thing. What we've been talking about, adding a set of jump rope into whatever exercise you're doing. You can target the same muscle with a different movement. So bench press and then adding a dumbbell bench press, just kind of circuited into that. That's going to be much more intense than just doing your normal bench press. Another big one that I really like is adding instability to an exercise. So doing something on one of those little foam blocks is great. Helps you recruit more muscles. It's going to be more neurologically demanding. That's a great way to do it. You can do single side exercises. So if you're doing bicep curls, just hold one dumbbell and do the curls on that side. Suddenly you're now recruiting core as well to help you keep that posture. So there's a lot of different ways you can go about it.
I like to often recommend adding things like pause work into the lifts that we're doing. I think that's a great way to not have to increase the weight, but can increase the intensity as well. And another thing that I ask my clients to look at is tempo. A lot of us rush through our lifts pretty quickly. And I think when you intentionally slow things down and make sure that you're keeping that tempo for all of your reps, I think that can really increase the intensity as well. Make sure there's full range of motion, slow that tempo down, and add some pause work. Those are the three that I'm going to throw in there.
Janneke, going along with that is isometric hold. I've been messing with that. So at the end of, let's say, a bench work, then I just hold it after my last rep as long as I can. And that seems to drive a burn. I don't know how much it does, but you do feel an intensity. And Michael, you were mentioning something there. What was that?
Yeah. So just time under tension. So being super intentional about the form and not, like Janneke said, not rushing through each of the motions.
And with time under tension, it's a very intense workout. If you're focusing on that, I know the question was about how to increase intensity by, you know, is there any other way to do it by increasing weights? Well, with our, you know, TUT or focusing on form of the lift, you're going to be decreasing weights at some point because it is going to get very intense, very fast. I did an hour workout with a trainer colleague of mine, and it was pure TUT, and it was about 45 minutes, and it was hell.
Perhaps the trainers can explain to people the difference between pause, isometric holds, and time under tension, because they're kind of similar, but they do have their little nuance. Perhaps the audience may not know those names.
So isometric basically means that the muscle is under tension and not moving. The most common application of this is a pause, but there are more applications. Basically, if you're loading your muscles and you're not getting an extension or a contraction, that's going to be an isometric. There are other ways of going about that. One thing that I've been doing recently, I do it with my squats now. You set up the rack so that it's a little bit higher. You get down into position around 90 degrees, and then you push into that bar. So I'm not able to extend my leg, but I'm going beyond just maintaining that position, and I'm going at max intensity, and that's still an isometric hold. So there's different ways of going about it, but it's similar to a pause. And then time under tension is a way of looking at volume with a time element involved. That's going to be really good for hypertrophy, building muscle mass. And it's really just looking at how long are you keeping that muscle under tension.
As an extension to that topic, as we're there, I would like you guys to discuss the idea of another term that's getting thrown around a lot in the fitness community these days is partials, the idea of partials. And do you guys want to maybe explain what that is and what the benefits are to doing partials in with our full range of motion lifts?
I know there's been a lot of buzz around that recently. I'm not super caught up on that specific science. I've been taught from the time I was first starting in sports and working out that you got to go through full range of motion. So I'm kind of setting my ways, but I'm trying to keep an open mind with the partials.
Yeah.
There have been exceptions where I have done partial reps on certain things. And the biggest reason that I'll use a partial rep is to train a weak spot in my lift. I know a lot of people have trouble if they get caught at like the bottom of a bench press. They have trouble getting that bar off of their chest. Practicing that portion of the movement in isolation can be a great way to overcome those weaknesses. So in terms of what it's going to do for hypertrophy and things like that, I'm not super versed on exactly what the benefits there are.
With partials, in my history of it, it was a training mechanism used by coaches in powerlifting programs to essentially, and you always do it safely with racks, with spot. And it was essentially a way to get your body used to these weights that were to come. So that the first weight, the first time you experience this 105% weight, the first time you went for it, it wasn't a complete shock to your body's joints. You weren't doing full range of motion. You were like, take bench press, for instance. You weren't even going down to your chest at all. It was mostly like getting the feel of the weight, dropping it 4 to 5 inches and going back up as a means to like, hey, your body's going to be experiencing this later. So get used to it. And it was never used as a method to build muscle. It was mostly used as a method to build a mental engagement, a mental awareness of something to come.
I've done that with heavier weights, but I'll tell you how I use partials today. I just got back from the gym and I'm dealing with a nasty shoulder injury and I simply cannot do any chest exercises. So I'm going through just range of motion, full range of motion with zero weight, moving the muscle. And today I incorporated very low weight and I'm doing partial movement to the point where I get the pinch in the shoulder and I back off. And I'm getting some movement. I'm getting some joint activation, and I feel like I'm doing something. What the doctors are telling me is keep moving. Motion is lotion, but stay away from anything that pinches. Mm-hmm. So partials, it's a great way to actually just keep in motion.
One of the instances where I like to try to incorporate them is a specific example would be on the machine fly. So getting into that full stretch position and doing a partial in between each of my full range of motions, I feel like really kind of helps me at that backside, like you were talking about, JP, where that muscle is fully extended and it might challenge me to get that weight moving. And I often have to drop the weight down. It's not my regular weight that I would have on the machine fly. I have to go a little bit lower, but I basically do it like 1 1/4 reps. I'll do one full rep and then I'll do a quarter and then I'll do one full rep. And I feel that's really kind of helped me in that really lengthened position of the muscle to create a little bit more to get those weights started from that very backside.
I've been seeing YouTube influencers who are quoting studies saying that there is new research that partials, you can get as much activation as full range, but it depends on which muscles you're doing it. So the bigger muscles mm-hmm. seem to benefit more from it, like partials on squats or bench, as opposed to isolating muscles. Well, more research is coming out on that. And so it's mm-hmm. something to keep an eye on, perhaps for a future episode.
I feel like that is the interesting thing about this. I feel like the science is constantly kind of delving deeper and deeper into these subjects. And so those maybe misconceptions or things that just kind of evolved from a long time ago are actually really being challenged now. And I find it's interesting to kind of watch how things evolve. And I mean, we have to be discerning about the information that we are getting. But I think it's interesting that science is kind of always delving a little bit deeper and deeper into these studies that, you know, kind of evolve our fitness industry.
Yeah, and I also think it's very important to understand like that these rules don't necessarily, or these studies don't necessarily apply to every person out there. I saw mm-hmm. a study recently that essentially the conclusion came to be that full range of motion doesn't truly make a difference in essentially the average Joe Sixpack, Jane Sixpack's routine and gains. And that may be true to their extent, but if you're a professional athlete and you're working at the apex of your class, every little millimeter, every little inch, everything on repeat, as much as you do it, adds up and you know, tallies up to exceed your competition level. So it really depends on who you are, how you approach it. And you can take all these rules, you can shift them to make them so they're not viable to you and it doesn't work. And that's not a rule I'm going to live by just because that's not your goal. That's not your goal. Take everything you see with a grain of salt, apply it how you want to apply it for your fitness goals, and then move from there.
I think you're 100% correct. I think for general population, and this is my philosophy as a personal trainer, that most people in general population just need to master the basics and they will benefit greatly from mastering the basics. We have so much access to so much information that we can sometimes overcomplicate the issue. But I think mastering those basics and just keeping it simple is really where most people will benefit.
Simple and fun. Fun is mm-hmm. always overrated when it comes to fitness. If you don't like your workout, it's not going to be something that's going to be easy to stay consistent with. Find something mm-hmm. you enjoy doing and stick with it.
I think that leads us to the next question. Michael, if you want to read it, because I think that's important for people.
Yeah, so it is about consistency. The question is, how does everyone do their workouts? Upper, lower, push, pull, full body? And I think it might be helpful if we explain the concept of a split for our early listeners. So a split is really nothing more than how you divide the workout over a period of time, typically a week. So how are you dividing up the exercise, the muscle parts that you work out intensely day after day across a week? And there's four in the FitBod app. You can choose how you want your split to be. So there's upper lower split, there's full body, and there's push pull lower. And then the last one is fresh muscle groups. So I'll ask the question again. I guess the question is really essentially, what's the best split and how do you choose that?
The best split is going to be the one that gets you back in the gym another time. It's the one you enjoy the most. I will say there's one caveat, and that's with full body. In general, it takes about 48 to 72 hours to recover from a workout. That can vary a lot depending on individuals, but that's a good baseline to kind of start with. And you're not really going to find someone who's recovering faster than 48 hours if they're getting a good workout. So with full body, if you're training more than three times a week, you could be starting to limit your ability to recover. And that's where you're making your progress, is during recovery. That's the reason you're going to start wanting to implement a split. The other reason for that is getting enough training volume in a reasonable amount of time in a specific muscle group. If you have fewer muscle groups, you can spend more time in that workout on each one, getting that muscle to fatigue. And that's another benefit of it. And beyond that, really, you're just trying to find something that works for you and that you enjoy. So each one is going to have some pros and cons to them. But in general, what you're trying to do is give your body time to recover before you hit that muscle group again.
I think people need to zero in on what you said there, JP, is how many times a week you are actually getting to the gym. For me, that is what I always pair it back to. It's not how many times you want to be there. It's not how many times you dream of being there. It's not how many times you think about being there. It's how many times a week are you actually getting to the gym? Because if you are only getting to the gym twice in a 7-day period of time, yeah, maybe full body is what you want to hit. To me, that's how I break it down. So if you are there, you know, enough times to warrant getting into more specific splits. So for me, a push-pull lower is something that I would recommend for most people who are hitting the gym probably close to 5 or 6 times a week. You want to be able to hit those muscle groups twice in a 1-week period of time to really stimulate muscle growth and to really allow that recovery, but also be able to stimulate. We're looking to create stimulus on our muscles in order for them to grow. So there needs to be enough stimulus at a regular occurring interval in order to do that. If you're 4 times a week, let's do upper, lower. You can do upper, lower, upper, lower. If you are more than that, maybe throw a full body in. If you're up to 6 times a week, let's do a PPL. But if you're much less than that, I think it's important. Like if you wanted 3 days a week, I might say, okay, you could do an upper, a lower, and a full body. That might be a good way to do it. But for me, number of times that somebody's actually hitting the gym is the number one factor that needs to be taken into account when suggesting a split for them.
I have a slightly different view on that. It's not that it's disagreement, but it's reaching to how people are motivated. For example, I do a PPL split, and it's because I know myself. Perhaps maybe now I'm different because I've been doing this for 3+ years. But I know at the beginning, if I took a day off between gym sessions, it might turn into 2 into 3 days off. So by picking a PPL, I know that I'm required to be in the gym every day. And so that kept me motivated to do it. So perhaps for you, the listener, you may need something like a PPL to keep you consistent as opposed to just because you have the time. So find your motivation is what I say, and then stick to it, because I think JP mentioned consistency is the key to see the results. So for me, it was a motivational standpoint.
I do think that it has to do with how much, not just how often you are actually able to get to gym, as Jonica referenced, but what your ability, your availability to work out is, like your schedule. If you're doing a full body workout every time you go to the gym, but you only have 45 minutes to work out, if you're trying to get hardcore results, that's probably not going to allow you to transfer in that, because the workouts are going to be so spaced out among muscle groups every time you do it. And you're going to be hitting low intensity on each of your muscle groups. So if you have less time, you want to choose a split that's going to allow you to focus in on certain muscle groups and focus in each workout on it. If you have more time, then you can kind of be a little bit more open with it. You can dedicate more time to more muscle groups. If you don't, you want to try to make that as intense. But then the drawback is you have to choose a split that allows you to get to the gym more and more often if you want to keep those goals in mind.
Yeah, I think one of the joys of moving into something like a PPL, again, if you have the time to commit to it, it allows you to get much more specific. If I have a client who's only getting to the gym twice a week, I will recommend a full body routine that generally has a lot of compound exercises. We don't have time to move into a lot of that isolation work where you're really working those triceps and working all the heads of the delts and, you know, kind of getting into all that specificity that really is only allowed for if you can break it down more than that. So you need a little bit more of a time commitment in order to be able to move down and actually see the results that you're looking for. I think you start, and any goal is only as good as what you actually can do. We can shoot for the stars and say, oh, I want to get there how many times a week. But unless you really have set aside a dedicated time to do it, you need to choose the splits off of what the reality is of what you're putting in the gym.
So I think what we all agree on, that the answer is pick that which you can do consistently, that which you can put the work in and be intense about it. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself and wasting your time.
Yeah. So I'm curious, while we've got the trainers, like, what is your split, Jesse?
Yeah, I was about to reference this back to the question. I think the question was, how does everyone do their workouts? Yeah. So yeah. I guess if we want to get the correct question, I'm a PPL person, for reasons being that I like to go to the gym 6 times a week. Usually it's 5 or 6 times a week. I like about an hour and 20 to hour and 30 minute workout, which will allow pretty intense concentration on the muscle groups of the push, of the pull, of the lower. And then it also allows that rest period between of 2 days for that 48 hours, that kind of at least 48 hours minimum that JP referenced a couple questions back, that you need before you hit it up and go intense again. I'm a big fan of PPL. I recommend it to anyone who's getting to the gym at least 4 times a week. Yeah, PPL all the way.
It's funny you mentioned PPL, because this year, beginning January 1st, most of you know I take Saturdays off, but I switched it. I do push, leg, pull. Like that, I'm not working the upper body back to back 2 times. When I was doing PPL, upper body was working out 2 days in a row. So now I switched it, and I think I'm going to stick this way, where I'm doing push, leg, pull, and that upper body only works out back to back only once. And so that's mess with it. Have fun with it.
Yeah. And it goes back to consistency. You know what's going to keep you consistent. What about you, JP?
I'm the same. I'm PPL mostly. And then I alternate between PPL and a split that we don't currently offer. So I'm not going to name it, but it's a famous guy in fitness.
Bro split.
Who has a specific split that he does. It's kind of like the twin to PPL. So I'll alternate about every 6 to 12 weeks, depending on how I'm feeling, between those two splits, because that's one of the good ways I like to get variety into my workouts, is alternating between strength training and bodybuilding, or hypertrophy and strength training, and then alternating those splits as well, kind of alternating between the two so they don't stack up at the same time where I'm always doing the same thing. And then I modify my PPL when I do get to there, where I do most push exercises, but I leave shoulders out because I find my shoulders tend to get fatigued before my other push muscles. Or even same on pull, it just doesn't feel like it fits well in that split. So I actually do shoulders with legs, and I'll do a lot of things like thrusters, you know, clean and jerk or something like that if I'm doing more of a full body workout, but I'll add some shoulders into my leg days instead of trying to pair it into the other upper body days.
So I'm curious how you actually do that with FitBod. Do you just manually add some shoulders on the leg day?
Yeah, I build all my own workouts myself just because I love doing that. It's what got me into fitness. I like creating the puzzle that I then have to solve in the gym.
And I'll just go ahead and weigh in on this with what I do. So I love, again, PPL, team PPL, here we go. But I make a little bit of a switch as well. And I actually do my deadlifts on pull day. I like to be able to do deadlifts and squats a couple times a week, each of those. And I feel like that's a little bit too much to be putting on a leg day, which I think deadlifts often fall on a leg day. So I pull those, and it helps to kind of split my volume in those workouts a little bit more evenly. So that's how I do it. I'll do PPL and I just take 1 day a week off, which I'm learning to enjoy a little bit more and more. I go and do my cardio. I play pickleball on Sundays and I don't lift. So I get my fix there. But yeah, PPL is what I love. And I really enjoy kind of keeping the deadlifts on my pull day.
Michael, what about you?
I'm a PPL guy. Yeah, I love it. And I pretty much do. I keep FitBod stock for the most part, and I'll maybe switch out some exercises. Lately, FitBod has been feeding me up deadlifts and squats on the same day, and I don't like to do those because I like to do really intense deadlifts, and I typically switch out the form of deadlift that I'm doing from the one that FitBod gives me, but I just love the flexibility. So team PPL all the way.
I think that's unanimous.
I think it goes in lightly. What we were talking about earlier, it's like, all right, I think everyone on here likes to work out 5 to 6 times a week. So it just becomes the natural way to go. But yeah, Arnold split. Oh, I said it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Let's since we're all PPL people, then for this question, if you couldn't do PPL, what would be your split, right? If you couldn't do PPL, what would be your split? I'll go. I think I would go with upper lower. and just
so you're working out 6 days a week. Is that what we're doing? We're
yes. still working uh-huh. 6 days a week. Yeah.
Okay. So for me, yeah. I would weigh in and I would probably do an upper, lower, full body. Upper, lower, yeah. full body. That would probably be my split.
Oh, mixing them. That's a good one. Unfortunately, yeah. you can't set that to be automatic in Fitbot. So you would then wait for the day that it would be full body and manually select that in the app, right?
Oh, yeah. I override all the time. I never want something just like, unless I'm having a total day where I want to be mindless. I love to kind of have the control over which lifts I hit when. Like, yeah. I just kind of, I don't know. I am a creature of habit. And so
I think that's so perfect to bring up too. Listeners, the app is going to be autopilot if you let it. It's going to give you nonlinear periodization along lines that'll incorporate hypertrophy, but you always have the ability to change it up and customize it. And I think I'm with you. I'm in the same camp. I would mix it up with upper, lower, and full body for sure. How about you guys?
I think I would go fresh muscle group. I think I would go full variety at that point. Ooh. Just, I don't know what I'm getting until I get in there. And then it's like, how do I solve this puzzle?
You're just going rogue on us there. Oh, well, my goodness.
So here's something to bring up. When we select fresh muscle groups, the app is keeping track of the muscle groups that we've worked out intensely from day to day. So theoretically, it would be giving us a new muscle group to focus on every single day. The problem that I had is I work out 6, sometimes 7 days a week, and I'm at 0 fresh muscle groups pretty much every day. So I'm not sure how much I trust the app when it has.
So what happens then? Does the app say stay home?
No, it should. Yeah, I think it should.
That would be great. I actually just answered someone's question on the inbound. Hey, does the app ever tell me to take a break? It's like, it's always going to give you a workout. There's a body heat map. Reference that. Also, listen to how your body feels. I was leaning toward fresh muscle groups as well, like before JP said it. And then I realized my first ever experience with Fitbod was using it because it didn't have all those features when the first algorithm was drafted. It was only fresh muscle groups. So I remember working out that way and going, oh yeah, I trusted it then. So I'd give it a whirl, but then I might skip to one of yours, which is like a PP or a full body. I don't know. The new drop-down effects of the app feature, like the homepage where you can just drop down, choose a split, choose something to make your workout a little bit more variable without actually having to change your profile, is something I really like. So yeah, upper, lower, full, that sounds nice, but I'm going to go with fresh muscle groups as well.
I admire you guys that can go with those fresh muscle groups. That's like too spontaneous for me. I just feel like that's wild to not know what day is which muscle group. So guys, this was so much fun. It was really informative. I actually really hope that a lot of our listeners will gain a lot of knowledge from this episode and that these questions that come up time and time again will be answered for people. And I think most of them didn't really have a definitive, there's only one way to do it. I don't think there's ever only one way to go about our fitness journeys, but I think we offered a lot of opinions and some knowledge to help people make the decisions as to which direction is best for them. So thank you guys so much for your time. I think this was another really great episode.
Thanks so much, guys. Before we end, I just want to encourage folks, if you have questions, send them to the mailbag. It's trainer@fitbod.me, and you can ask them in the Fitbod Facebook group as well. And maybe we'll select your question and feature it on the next Ask a Trainer episode.
I truly appreciate everyone being here. Thanks for the episode. Thanks for all the fun questions. Get them a lot. So it's good to get them out there. And yeah, we didn't have definitive answers, but fitness rarely does have definitive answers. It's exactly. really about what works for you.
Great episode. Great questions. Feel free to experiment too. See what works for you. See what doesn't.
And let us
don't
know.
Be worried about getting it perfect.
Yeah. Be your own guinea pig, right?
Exactly.
End Thanks, guys. So much fun. Thanks, Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to our listeners. Check out the show notes at fitbod.me/podcast for all the details from this episode. Download the Fitbod app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Use the promo code BUILT for a 14-day free trial. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment and a rating on your favorite podcast network. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.